The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
It's the 2nd of September, beginning of the month, so that's when we do a bit of a recap. We take a look at the month before, that would be August, and what we can expect in September. As always, helping us out is a good friend of ours, David Kuo, CEO of Motley Fool Singapore. David, good morning.
Good morning, Elliot Danka. Good morning, Ryan Huang on Money FM 89.3.
I love your enthusiasm.
I know, David. Yes.
You're bright as sunshine in the summer. Gentlemen, before we get into a couple of headlines, yeah. What was a particular highlight for you personally or markets-wise in the month of August, David?
I think it was Donald Trump wanting to buy Greenland. I think that was my highlight. That was my highlight for August.
That was interesting.
Audacious.
Ryan, what about yourself?
Oh, I've got to say it's been the rollercoaster ride I've been seeing. Almost every other week, the markets have been swinging back and forth about 2.2+%. Yep. So who knows? This could be a similar situation in September with no clarity yet with how things are panning out.
August was a blur for me because I was on holiday. That's my highlight. But it's okay, right, David?
Well, of course it is, yeah. I think it's a good way to invest, to simply just ignore the market completely. As Ryan said, I mean, the market has been exceedingly volatile. And if you watch the market, you're going to be terrified, you know, seeing swings of hundreds of points in the Dow Jones.
Is that a new word, terrified?
Well, I think so, yeah. I think people are a bit scared at the moment. Yeah, people are terrified.
Terrified of the tariff man.
Take a look now at headlines that could really shape the start of the month, especially with those tariffs kicking in yesterday over the weekend. I suppose we're set to see a very cautious start to the week.
I think so, but are you beginning to lose track, like me, about these tariffs? I mean, I am beginning to, just forget about what kind of tariffs are impending, which ones are going to be introduced, which ones have already started. I mean, it seems as though nearly 90% of Chinese-made goods now entering America are going to face some kind of tariffs.
How much more tariffs can he impose?
Yeah. Isn't it true that a sign of madness is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? Yeah.
You're describing the Black Adder.
but he's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. I mean, how many more tariffs can he impose?
That's very true. And one of the things that he's doing over and over again is you have some negative sentiment and then suddenly he says, we're expected to go back to trade talks. We're having talks to talk about having trade talks. Yeah. And now he's come out to say, and he being President Trump, trade talks expected later this month. What are you expecting from this? Or is the market just going, it's just him saying trade talks will happen again. We'll talk again when we see something.
I think you can only cry wolf so many times, right? Before the market just completely ignores anything that you say. I mean, up to the point of what I was referring to about my highlight for August, which was Donald Trump saying he would like to buy Greenland. I think most people around the world just looked at that and just went, what is he on about now? And ultimately, you reach that point. And I do wonder whether or not by the time we get to 2020 and there is another election in America, whether people would just discount everything that he says. It was fun 3 years ago when he came out and sort of said certain things. And I think there were some believers out there who thought, yes, it would be interesting to have a non-politician running America. But 4 years, 3 years down the line, you think, I don't think this is the kind of person that we want. Similarly with the UK, I don't think Boris Johnson is the kind of political leader that we want. It is ludicrous now.
It's another can of worms altogether. David, I want to run by you this interesting scenario. And Ryan and I have discussed this a couple of times as well. You take 2019, you're minus 80 years, and the number you get was when there was a world war. Yeah. You minus another 80 years, I believe it was a civil war, and another 80 years and so on and so forth. Now we are seeing a different kind of war today. Yeah. We're seeing a trade war that has kind of semi-evolved into a currency war.
Yeah.
What are the prospects that it could evolve into an energy war with crude being taxed for the first time? The situation on the Gulf is kind of keeping quiet, but who knows when that's going to escalate. What are the prospects of that?
I think what we're actually facing at the moment is this thing that people keep on talking about, which is the Thucydides trap. In other words, you have a major power like America, and you have an up-and-coming power like China. And the incumbent America doesn't like the idea of having its power usurped in some way by the up-and-coming. So therefore, America, or more to the point, Donald Trump, doesn't want to actually sort of see China overtaking America.
Sure.
But it is eventually going to happen. Now, they have to come to terms with this. They have to understand that there are going to be two major powers in the world. And most of us have accepted the fact that there are going to be two major powers, one in the West, one in the East.
Oh, one in the East, yeah.
Yeah. And how do we reconcile that, Elliot? I mean, how do we decide whether or not we want to support one side or the other? Mm. Ultimately, I think the Singapore tactic, which is to say, we're going to have to accept the fact that there are going to be two, and we have to actually play the game. And
why can't we be friends?
Why can't we be friends?
Yes.
I mean, it would
yes.
be great if we could. But, I mean, having two sumo wrestlers just simply sort of in the middle of the mat trying to push each other out of the ring is not the way to go forward.
Mm.
And there are going to be two major powers. And we mustn't be put into a position where we have to choose one against the other. I am half Chinese and half European, right?
Sure.
Half English.
Yeah. Yeah.
So therefore, I understand both cultures perfectly.
Yeah.
And I don't have to choose whether I want to celebrate Chinese New Year or the English New Year. I celebrate both.
Having that one power is, some might argue, a little bit backward in that sense. And one tactic that's been used is to get U.S. companies out of America, go back to the United States.
Out of China, you mean?
Yeah. Out of China, I beg your pardon. Yeah. Out of China, back to the United States. How disruptive would this be to markets? Is it even realistic at all? Because it's been functioning that way for a long time.
It's massively disruptive. But we also have to understand, you know, capitalism. Capitalism, a lot of people have said, is a dirty word because, I mean, we don't like capitalism. But ultimately, capitalism is putting money to work in the most efficient possible way.
Hmm.
And I think what American corporations have found is that manufacturing in America just doesn't work because it is too expensive. So why not move your production facilities to somewhere else? Which was why they went to China, because labor was cheap.
Exactly.
Now, what is happening in China is that their standard of living is rising now.
Mm.
And consequently, China is not the best place to manufacture. So they have been moving their supply chains elsewhere anyway. So it is not a case of the American administration saying you have to move your supply chains out of China. The ones that can move will move, and they already are moving.
Sure.
And we've seen that, you know, over the last 5 years. They have been moving them to places like Vietnam, to Thailand, Philippines, Indonesia, Singapore. And capitalism works that way, whereby capital is mobile. It can move wherever it wants to go. And in some cases, it can move at the drop of a hat. In other situations, it might take them a little bit longer to move. But it will move, Elliot.
Thousands marching in the streets in the UK over the weekend. Boris Johnson, last week, you might have read, moved to suspend Parliament for up to 5 weeks ahead of that Brexit deadline.
Yeah.
Talked about how it's convenient timing. We've talked about how it puts Parliament in a bit of a sticky situation. The pound was, well, pounded down in that sense, down 10% since mid-March. Are we looking at a constitutional crisis here?
I think we are looking at some kind of constitutional crisis. And I think what we have to try and reconcile for ourselves is, do we believe Boris Johnson? Now, Boris Johnson is saying that he needs the UK or the British people behind him so that he can have a stronger hand in negotiating with Europe.
Yep.
Now, the danger with that is if you put all your trust in him and he does pull out of Europe without a deal, then, of course, Britain could actually be flushed down the toilet. And that is the danger that you have. Do you have enough trust in him to force the European Union to give him a better deal? Now, if you listen to the Europeans, they're saying the deal we have is the deal we have. There is no better deal available.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
if that were to happen, then, of course, you will have put your trust in the wrong horse.
Yeah. You're in a pretty decent car, but you're playing chicken with an armored truck coming your way.
Yeah. That's is he going to move out of the way? Is he going to move out of the way? If he doesn't, then, well, it's a nasty accident.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.